Hi, friends. Welcome. You are listening to the Mama Bear Podcast, and I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. I go by Mary Susan, and I'm so happy that you are here today. This is a place that I created for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to come together, talk about the behind the scenes of our lives, and connect. I always say it, I hope you feel like you're hanging out on my back porch, having a beverage of your choice with some girlfriends. And today is a special day. I have a place on my website. You can access it at marysusanmcconnell.com or on my Instagram at marysusanmcconnell that allows listeners to submit for their story to be on the show. And sometimes they submit themselves, and sometimes you can also submit, you know, someone in your community or in your circle that you think would make a great guest. It takes a very long time to get through those submissions. So if you have submitted something and you haven't heard back from me, I know it says it on the form that you may not, but please know that I am trying to get to every single person in some way, and that I really honor that you not only took the time, but that you want to share your story, and I honor your story. I so appreciate you sending that in. So if you haven't heard back from me, don't think you will never. It just takes a long time. So today is one of those guest submissions. Crystal from Reduced Fat Mama on Instagram messaged me about her story, and she is really transparent about a part of her life that I think a lot of us can relate to in our own way. Crystal was surprised when the birth of her son led them into the world of intense seizures with him. You're going to hear her talking all about it. And in that season of, as she put it, a very dark year, she began self-medicating with fast food. And the reason that I think this topic is so universal is because it's not about numbers on a scale. It's not about your body. It's about how you feel. And I think for so many women who are in a dark place, a hard zone, you do find yourself self-medicating in some way. Not all the time, but I think the majority of people, if we were really honest with ourselves, there's something in our life. Maybe it's the same as Crystal. I mean, my gosh, maybe it is that exact same story, but perhaps it's scrolling on social media too much. Maybe it's being in front of a television for too long, or, you know, there's so many different ways. But I think this whole idea of recognizing in ourselves, if we are self-medicating, that we have the initiative in ourselves to address it and to turn that around. And that's exactly what Crystal did. Crystal, one day, you're going to hear her talk about it, decided she wanted to change her life. And in doing so, inspired by her son and how hard her son was working, she lost 114 pounds, and you're going to hear her talk about that whole journey. She now shares that journey on Instagram, and I know that you're going to love hearing her chat about her world, and I can't thank you enough, Crystal. Thank you for coming on the show. All right, I'm going to hit play. Here we go, guys. Hi, I am so glad we finally are getting to do this. I can't believe it. Both kids are napping, which in my world is a miracle. So the fact that I was able to schedule this out blows my mind that Avi's asleep right now. But thank you for hopping on the phone with us.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear about your journey and everything that you're doing. And I know that you've had a rough week, and so we can get into anything you want to talk about. But before we get there, kind of tell us about your whole story, your whole journey, your world from the beginning to where we are now, as much as you want to share. I would love to hear, and I know everyone else would.
Okay. I guess I can start off when I got married. I don't want to put too much of my stepdaughter's story out there for everyone, but I do have a stepdaughter that has a medical condition, and it causes her to have epilepsy, and she has autism and a plethora of other medical conditions and things going on. So it's kind of weird that it goes with my story with my son, because I can remember being 30 weeks pregnant with my son, a perfect pregnancy, no issues, and giving my stepdaughter nasal Versed for seizures, having more than, I believe it was 5 seizures within a half an hour. Mm-hmm. And 10 weeks later, I had my son, and he came C-section. There was a little trouble with him coming out. I was dilated to 10, and then he wouldn't come. So I ended up having a C-section. Mm. He went straight to the NICU after the C-section because he had swallowed some meconium. Mm-hmm. And it was a couple hours went by, and then they finally brought him to me. And he was crying, and the minute I started talking to him, he stopped crying because he knew that he was with his mom. And it was just, it was amazing. Mm. So 12 hours later, I was holding him. I think I slept maybe an hour. I held him all day. I didn't want to let him go. And then when he was 12 and a half hours old, he started making some weird rhythmic movements. And at that time, I didn't realize it was only the left side of his body. Mm. And I said something to my husband, and he's like, oh, I think it's fine. And I'm like, no, something's not right. I called the nurse. They came down. They looked at him. They had a NICU nurse come in. She said it looked normal. We had a lot of family and friends that came in that day. He would do it every so often. Maybe every few hours. Everybody's like, oh, I think it's normal. And then that night, they came to take him to the NICU to do a hearing test, and they wanted a seasoned nurse, a lady who's been a nurse, I think, for like 30 years, to take a look at him. Well, they took him, and I just had this bad feeling. Mm-hmm. So not even 24 hours post-op, C-section, I'm shaving my legs, mm-hmm. getting ready, because I feel like something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. An hour later, they still hadn't brought him back. So my husband and I walked down to the NICU, and they had called in a neonatologist, and he let us know that he thought that our baby was having seizures. Mm. And my heart instantly like just stopped, because my stepdaughter's condition is not genetic. It has nothing to do with her mother or my husband. So here I'm being told that my baby is having seizures, right. And I don't understand why. Wow. And yeah, the first person that I called was my stepdaughter's mom. Mm. And I mean, we had no idea why he was having seizures. Children's Hospital, that was an hour away, came to take him. Oh, wow. He was about 22 hours old. They let my husband ride with him, and he was whisked away an hour from me. Mm. So I had to spend another 8 hours at the hospital by myself.
Oh my
with
gosh.
No baby and no husband.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was awful. I like to say, you know, the day that my son was born was the best day, and that was the worst day of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, having him was amazing, but then having him taken from me, it was awful. I felt so empty. You know, here I had carried this baby for so many months, and then I didn't have him or my husband. My husband was texting me. I was messaging him, asking questions, and they did a spinal tap on him, and they were doing all these tests. They were trying to figure out what was going on. Finally, I got discharged from the hospital, and then I got to go be with him. And he just kept having seizures. They couldn't get them to stop. We were staying at the Ronald McDonald House, mm. and we had went over there so I could sleep for a few hours. And that first night, we got called back because they had to max him out on Phenobarb and Keppra and Versed
gosh.
Because they couldn't get them stopped, and they didn't know why. And
that's terrifying.
Two and a half. Yeah, it was awful. Mm. It was the worst thing. And I work in healthcare as well, so I know what those you know, I know what the meds are. When they said Versed, I said, are you going to have to intubate? And they said, we're not sure. And luckily, this little boy is such a fighter. He was maxed out on all these meds, and he continued to breathe on his own.
Wow.
And finally, he was at 2.5 days old. They were able to get his seizures stopped. And they did an MRI, and it was 4th of July weekend, and it was a Friday night at 10 o'clock, and they got the results back, and a neurologist called us on the phone in the NICU, and she said that our son had a right-sided infarct, which means he had a stroke, and ended up taking out 65 to 75% of the right side of his brain is completely gone because of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was terrifying. We spent 3 weeks in the NICU. He came home on oxygen and Phenobarb and Keppra. They couldn't figure out why his oxygen sats kept going down at night. And we ended up finding out when he was 2 months old that he had sleep apnea. So we came home from the NICU with all that stuff. And that was the start of our journey with our son. Yeah, it was a lot. It was terrifying.
Oh my gosh. And when you get home, did the seizures continue? Were you dealing with that daily? What did life begin to look like?
So with the Keppra and the Phenobarb, he was completely seizure-free. We didn't see anything. Now, I had studied. They made us watch like probably a 20-year-old seizure video.
Really?
In the NICU. Yeah, to prepare to go home, what different seizures were. And then when I got home, I started watching YouTube videos of all kinds of seizures. I personally, before I even met my husband, when I thought seizure, I thought tonic-clonic.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
That's the only thing I thought of. But then when I met my husband, my stepdaughter, she was having thousands of seizures a day, but you couldn't see them physically. They were just, so I knew that there, you know, I knew that there were different types of seizures, like drop seizures and everything. When my son was probably two and a half months old, he was making some weird movements with the left side of his body. And I thought that he was having, I thought he had infantile spasms. And I had sent a video to a neurologist, and she watched it and she said it looked fine. So at 4 months old, we weaned off the Keppra, and then I want to say at 5 months old, we started weaning the Phenobarb. Christmas Day, 2016, 4 days before my son turned 6 months old, he started making some weird movements, and I videotaped them, and my husband's like, oh, it looks fine. And I'm like, no, there's something wrong. I know there's something wrong. That was 8 o'clock at night, and I was supposed to work that night, and I got called into work, and at work, I kept watching videos on YouTube of infantile spasms, and I knew that's exactly what was going on with my son. So the next morning, I called a neurologist on call, and it was another holiday.
Oh my gosh.
It was another holiday. So, the neurology department, they had somebody on call, but there was nobody in his doctor's office. And they said, if you see anything else, you can come in. And I said, my husband hasn't seen these movements again. Well, then 4 p.m., he started making the movements again. And I said, we're going to the ER. So we went to the ER, and after waiting for hours, we finally got admitted, and I talked to the neurologist, and I showed them the video, and they hooked my son up to an EEG. And that morning, actually one of the neurologists that saw him when he was in the NICU, she came in and confirmed that he had infantile spasms, which for people that may not know, it's one of the most devastating seizures that a baby can have. They're so tiny and they look so minute, but they terrorize the brain. And it can take a six-month-old baby who's rolling over, crawling, doing whatever, and it can take them back to infancy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we were literally we weaned from the Phenobarb when he was in the hospital that week for five. We were in the hospital for 5 days. And we had an epileptologist that came in, and he explained that we had three things that we could go through. We could do ACTH, which is a steroid, but it's a shot, injections every day, or prednisolone, which is a high dose steroid, or this thing called Sabril. With the steroids, any cold could make him really sick because he would have no immune system. And then the Sabril has a possibility of causing peripheral blindness. But when you have, when your baby is having these seizures, that can totally wipe their brain out.
Right.
You do what you have to do. So we chose to start the Sabril. Mm-hmm. We tried that for 2 weeks and his spasms were still there. So 2 weeks later, we started a high dose of prednisolone, and within 4 days, thankfully, his spasms were stopped because his epileptologist was also taking him to the neurosurgical board for a possible hemispherectomy because that was the last step. If all the meds didn't work, they were going to have to disconnect that part of his brain to get them to stop. So luckily, we didn't have to go there. So for 5 months we were homebound aside from doctor's appointments and therapies. Because if he got sick, I mean, he could end up in the hospital. So the first year of his life was, it was awful. I had put on 53 pounds in the first 18 months of his life, and I medicated myself with food. Mm-hmm. And after we got the infantile spasms stopped, we did this constraint therapy because Rowan has, because of the stroke, he has epilepsy as well as cerebral palsy.
Okay.
And the cerebral palsy, it's hemiplegic, so it affects the left side of his body. At 9 months old, we did some constraint therapy to help him use that affected side, and it was a trial and we didn't have to pay for it or anything. And it was awesome.
Oh, good.
Yeah. At 11 months old, we had another EEG just to double check and make sure the spasms still weren't there. And he was having, subclinical seizures that we couldn't see. So for the first year of his life, he after they stopped the Sabril for 3 weeks, he had no meds at all. And then he went back on Keppra at 11 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So during that, I mean, I'm holding my breath as you're saying all this. And I feel like every mom who has seen their child have a seizure, including me, the panic that can come in those moments when it just feels like I have no control over this little body and how can I help? And for you to have been in that type of survival mode so consistently for so long, how did you personally handle that anxiety, that panic? I mean, how did you do your day to day? You mentioned the food. Was that, you know,
basically
what was that
food?
Like? Okay.
I nursed my son exclusively, aside from when I was at work. I worked full time until I had him, and then I went back to work part time. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that nursing him really helped me because on days where I wouldn't even want to get out of bed, I'm like, I gotta get up.
Yeah.
I gotta feed my kid.
Yeah.
I can't just be like, oh, here's a bottle and give it to dad. You know, I honestly think that saved me, but that and food, I mean, that's pretty much all I did. I sat at home and I binge watched television shows and I ate fast food all the time. Mm-hmm. And that was my life.
What was the moment that started to shift?
So he started crawling at 12 and a half months old.
Okay.
He was army crawling. He didn't really 4-point crawl until after he started walking, which was crazy. At 18 and a half months old, he started walking.
Wow.
Two weeks before that, it was New Year's Eve. I was just, I was overwhelmed. I'd never had energy to bend over the bathtub to give my baby a bath. Mm-hmm. I couldn't breathe. It was, life was just really hard. Mm-hmm. And then January 1st, I stepped on the scale. And I've battled weight issues my entire life, but mainly my adult life. Mm-hmm. And I stepped on the scale and I was almost 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. For 15 years, I was about 240, 250. Mm-hmm. Maybe even 260. I had lost 40 pounds before I had my son and then got pregnant. And after I had him, I had only gained 20 pounds with my pregnancy. I lost that plus an extra 13. So I had been at, right after I had him, I was at my lowest adult weight. Mm-hmm. But then, like I said, I medicated myself with food. So I stepped on the scale and I was almost 300 pounds. I weighed the most that I had ever weighed. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I cannot walk in a mall without having my back hurt, without being short of breath. Mm. And I decided that I was going to not live that way anymore. So I started walking. I started changing the way I was eating. And now in the last, I think it's 20 months now, I've lost 114 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 114.
Oh my gosh.
Eating to help with my, all the pain and the anxiety and everything. And now exercise is what gets me through everything. Yeah, I go to the gym and I run. I do my cardio. I lift. If a song hits me, I cry. I get it all out. Mm-hmm. And then I come home and then I'm able to care for my son.
Wow. Okay. I'm speechless and I have chills. I feel that as people are listening to you speak, we can so relate to everything that you said as far as the medicating and the feelings that you had associated with that. And when you say that you made a decision, I'm not going to live like this, and you followed through with that, it makes me want to cry because that's so damn hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we, in so many ways, we see something in ourselves and we think, I'm going to change that. And then we don't. And then we beat ourselves up about it. And to see you say, I'm going to shift this part of my life, and you do to such an enormous level while taking care of a child that is needing you in these exceptional ways, is so inspiring. It really is. How, you know, the motivation that it would take for that first day of walking, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth. How did you do that? I mean, where did you find the energy to stay with it?
My son.
Okay.
I tell people, so I have a weight loss Instagram, and I tell people all the time on there that my son literally saved my life. I mean, he saved my life. I've lost probably 4 or 5 times before I had my son. I would lose 30, 40 pounds, gain it all back plus some. Lose 30, 40 pounds, gain it all back plus some. The first year of his life was so dark going through. We had 7 hospital admissions. We had all these sleep studies, and we were dealing with, you know, the meds and the seizures and everything. And it was just, it was devastating. And I give myself, I don't hate myself because of it, because I literally did what I had to do to survive.
Right. Right. So today, when you look at how you're living your life and you look at this massive journey you've been on, not only with your son, but personally, do you feel a relief of, look at what I've done? Do you feel proud of yourself? Do you feel accomplished? Do you, I mean, how do you feel when you look back at what you've done?
I feel really good.
Yeah.
I do. I feel really good now. I look at my son, who has been in physical therapy every week, aside from a few weeks here and there, if there's a holiday that he goes to physical therapy. He's been going since he was 4 weeks old. He's been in OT since he was 11 months old weekly. Mm-hmm. He's been in speech for over a year now since he was two. He fights so hard to do mm-hmm. so many things. Mm-hmm. They've diagnosed him with aphasia just because he's not talking yet and he's mm-hmm. over three. Mm-hmm. He's doing amazing things with his left hand that we call lefty. I think he's so focused right now on fine motor skills mm-hmm. that's why the speech is lacking. But I watch him work so hard and he gets frustrated sometimes, but he keeps going and he doesn't just give up. And that's exactly what has kept me going. I see him not giving up and I'm like, I can't give up because look at him. Mm-hmm. He literally saved my life. He's made me the person that I am today. He is my reason. There's no way I could ever stop what I'm doing because mm-hmm. of him. Mm-hmm. And he's three and he gets into everything and he's running around and he is doing so many amazing things. And I mean, he keeps me going. That and coffee.
Yeah. I love it. That and coffee.
I never was a coffee drinker until I want to say, probably started walking 18 yeah. months. And then now I live off coffee and I've losing all this weight. I'm able to run after him and chase after him. And if he gets out of the house and he's running towards the road, I can run and get him and mm-hmm. I can catch him and I can carry him around. And even carrying him around last night, he's 35 pounds. And I'm like, I used to carry three of him.
Right.
I don't know how I carried all that weight around. I would not be able to be the mom that he needed me to be if I was still that weight. So it's so crazy because I needed him. I feel like people are like, well, he needs you. And I'm like, I needed him just as much as he needs me.
Oh my gosh. That's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. When you look at where you are today, you mentioned how you're able to run out if he runs outside and you're able to do all these things with him. Psychologically, you know, those, when I think of what you just said, I think about the physical benefits and the physical shift. Psychologically, how has that helped your space? And I ask this because I think so many women find themselves in, especially when they're in these seasons that are so hard, they find themselves in a place where everything feels difficult. It's like making the coffee feels like climbing a mountain, getting out of bed feels hard, doing the laundry is enormous. Everything is so hard. And so the things that take precedence are getting the appointments and trying to get yourself to as many as possible and making sure the kids are fed and all of that. As you started to lose this weight and put yourself on this priority list, did that, as you put it, the darkness, did some of that, did you find a relief there? Did it psychologically help you?
Oh yeah, a lot. I'm still not where I should be. My goal is to eventually get myself into counseling because mm-hmm. I know that I have PTSD mm-hmm. from his NICU stay, from all the hospital admissions. Luckily his children's hospital has changed their soap. And I know this, I mean, to you, it won't sound crazy, but to some people, it may sound crazy. The smell of the soap would take me right back to the NICU.
Washing
my hands constantly, washing his bottles. I mean, all of that. Uh-huh. So there is a lot of things. We just had a 5-year memorial for my grandpa that passed away yesterday. And I actually ordered a book about grief. And I'm going to start going through that and journaling because I haven't grieved for the loss of my grandpa and I have not grieved for my son. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, he's still here and he's alive and he's thriving and he's doing amazing. But there's always that, you know, when you're pregnant and you have this thought, no one thinks, mm-hmm. unless you get a diagnosis in utero, no one thinks that, oh, my baby is going to be in the hospital for 3 weeks after I have him. And then mm-hmm. he's going to go home on seizure meds, and he's going to be in therapy for at least the next, who knows how many years, how many therapies. And we're going to be going to doctor's appointments a lot, and no one expects that for their kids. So there's a lot of things that I have to work through. And people used to always say, "You're so strong. You're so strong." And then when you're inside and inside of yourself, you feel so weak, and you're like, "I'm not strong. There's nothing," you know, you pull every ounce of whatever you have out mm-hmm. to survive. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, yeah, I guess I am kind of strong, because mm-hmm. I don't know how I would have gotten through everything that I have without being strong.
Oh, yeah.
But the working out, in within the last month, when I lift weights, it makes me feel physically strong, and then that makes me feel mentally strong. So mm-hmm. honestly, working out is literally my therapy. I can go to the gym and I can be an anxious mess.
Yeah.
And then when I leave, it's all gone.
Wow. God, I mean, hearing you say that, it makes so much sense as far as the benefits on so many different levels. For the mom that's listening to you saying, "That's me. That's 100% me. That's exactly my story as far as how I feel and how I need to put myself on this list in this way, specifically this journey of your physical body." What advice do you have? Because I feel like so many things we see, it feels like I said earlier, that's way too hard, you know, like mm-hmm. going and signing up for that group class. Well, what if you're an introvert and you're depressed and you don't want to see people? Or what about, you know, when they say do this program and it's going to take this much money and you don't have the money, or do this and it's going to take this much time and you don't have the time. So I think people would really value hearing from you. What is the first thing a woman can do, or a dad if they're listening, to begin this enormous thing? Because you have done a just such a powerful, not only in your own life, your story, and as you shared on Instagram, is powerful for everyone else. So what would you say to do first?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm. So the first thing, I mean, it's really pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Compared to everything, I tell people this, people who message me, "How can I start? Where do I start?" The losing the weight and living this way is so much easier than everything I've went through with my son, mm-hmm. the seizures and the hospital stays and all of that. I just started with making better choices. I downloaded my Fitness Pal. It's totally free. Mm. I started walking. I went to a mall an hour before I went to work, and I would just walk.
Wow, yeah.
The first 9 months, I only worked out at home. So I was on YouTube, and I was doing free workout videos. So everything, I bought some free weights, and then in July of last year, I started using those. But there's everything that I did was at home, and it was free. Mm. So I think a lot of it is just, and then I tell people this too, I went through hell. I literally was at the bottom. I don't know that there was any lower that I could have went. And then I knew that there was no other way than mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. parents who are going through the same thing, just look at your kids and see what they're doing and how hard they have to fight every day to maybe even breathe to anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just use that. I use that. I know that my son has to go to 3 to 4 therapies a week. I work out 4 days a week. It's so crazy because it's so hard sometimes to explain, but I see him doing things that he may not always want to do, but he does them. And that gives me the motivation. I used to tell my husband before I started going back to the gym and before I started losing weight, he's like, I had a membership that I paid for like a year that I didn't even use. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My husband would be like, oh, not to be mean, but why don't you go to the gym? It might make you feel better. And I'm like, no, I can't. I can't leave him. And when I first started going to the gym last September, I felt so guilty for 2 weeks because I never left my son for mm-hmm. anything mm-hmm. aside from work. And that's where the whole self-care.
Yeah.
That is my mom time. That is my me time. Yeah. That's another thing. If there's a way that parents can get away from the house to be able to go to a gym, even if just for a half an hour, it really is. I mean, there's some days where I'm like, I can't wait to go to the gym, and not because I just want to work out, but just because I need to get, yeah. I need to get out of the house.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I just need to get out of the house. So yeah. I turned 35 this year. And I think for me too, it's just, I lived that way for so many years with just eating and not caring about anything. And I just got fed up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you're speaking, it makes so much sense. So I have so many things clicking in my own brain as far as, you know, they're doing how many therapies is my daughter mm-hmm. doing a week? Could I work out those that many times? How you can start. I love walking in a mall. I know the gym can be such an intimidating thing for people, and to get out of the house and go there to the mall could be a good first step to have the weights at your own house. But then as you're speaking about when this gym becomes a haven, oh my gosh, and then it becomes your therapy. What a beautiful gift. To be able
to
go. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, what a beautiful thing to be able to go and experience that in so many different ways. The physical, the emotional, the mental. I love how you said if a song comes on, you cry it out. And yes. Then you get back in your car and come home. Oh my God. Wow. Well, I cannot believe we've been speaking for 34 minutes. I mean, I have so many questions for you. I have to say, you're, as you speak and your whole story is so inspiring. Thank you for sharing it on, not only here, but thank you for sharing it on your Instagram, because I think so many people need to see what you are doing and in the way that you're doing it. And it's so darn powerful. So before I get to the three questions that I ask my guests, where are you today? How are you doing today? What's life like now?
It's good. It's good. It had been super good. And then I'll explain it once you get to your questions, but it's good. The only thing my son isn't really doing right now, he doesn't jump, which it's not a big deal. That's just one of the gross motor things that he's not doing that they want him to do. And then he's, like I said, he's not talking. He says, Mama, Dada. And then he used to say nanai for nice, and he would say here, but now he grunts. He'll be like, eh. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have very many words. That's a little hard, mm-hmm. Because I don't know what he wants, and he gets frustrated sometimes, but life is better. Today. Good. I was in a car accident a couple months ago, and I thought that that would throw me for a loop with the emotional thing. And I just, like, I would go to the gym and I would work out, and it, yeah. So I've literally changed my entire life. It's not, when people say it's a lifestyle, for me, it literally is a lifestyle. Yeah. It's my therapy. And if I'm sad, I work out, and 9 times out of 10, I'm going to feel better after that. But yeah, my son is doing well. His sister is doing well. My husband's doing well. So life is going good, good right now. It's a good season.
Good, good, good. Okay. Well, A, that makes me very happy. And B, I can't wait to hear your answers to these questions. So for listeners that are tuning in for the first time, I ask these three questions at the end of nearly all the interviews, and they are you sleeping? What has felt like a recent defeat, and what has felt like a recent victory? And so let's begin with, are you sleeping?
Yes.
Yes.
I can say that Knock on wood. My son has always been a good sleeper. He came home on a pulse ox, so I never was afraid to go to sleep and worry about him maybe not waking up.
Yeah.
He had a pulse ox for the first 10 months of his life, so I knew that if he were to stop breathing, the pulse ox would go off. And even now as a toddler, thankfully, he's always been a good sleeper. And if I don't get sleep, it's my fault, because after he's been awake and everything all day, at night, sometimes I tend to stay up till like midnight, 1 o'clock, just for mommy.
Oh yeah,
time. Me too. to do my thing. So yeah. Yes,
I sleep. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Okay, a recent defeat.
The recent defeat would be 7 weeks ago, I think it was the first or second week of July, we had completely weaned off of Keppra because in June he had a clear EEG.
Wow.
And then last Thursday, he had had a fever for a day, and I was at work, and my husband called me from work and said, "You have to get home. Rowan's having a seizure." And he had a 5 to 10 minute, the hospital, the children's ER said that it was a complex focal fever induced seizure. So even though it was a febrile seizure, because of the brain damage that he has from the stroke, his doctor wanted him to go back on Keppra and wants him to be back on it for at least another 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So we went 7 weeks with no meds, and now we're back on meds, but I know they work for him.
Yeah.
I know that there's no activity going on in his bad activity going on in his brain when he's on it. Another defeat from that is my husband is traumatized from it. He was at home by himself with my stepdaughter and my son, and the fever lasted, like my husband said, 5 to 15 minutes, but he just completely freaked and wasn't watching the clock, didn't take a video or anything of it. So he thinks that my son is still a little off. Mm-hmm. I know it's not. I know it's, I know he's traumatized from that. Yeah. I would see spasms and everything for probably a year after Rowan, spasms were gone.
Wow, just from
the trauma. So I know that that's what my husband is going through. So that would be the defeat. It's meds twice a day. It's what we've lived with for his entire life. So it's a defeat, but
right.
It's okay.
Yeah. That PTSD part, or that trauma, it's so real.
Yeah.
And it really can. I was telling you before we were recording, after our daughter had to go to the ICU, an ambulance and a first seizure, and our whole worlds were like, what just happened? And it took a minute, and by a minute, a while to get back into that zone where you're feeling comfortable. And so I'm thinking of y'all, and
thank you. I have a bag packed now my car. I haven't had one packed for 2 years, and now it's packed with everything.
Yes.
Stuff for me, stuff for my son, and stuff for my husband. So
yes, I was just talking to a friend who her son's a teenager and he has seizures, and she found herself in the hospital, and she was saying, "I can't believe I didn't have a bag packed." And and I said, "You know what? I've been telling people on the podcast to pack a bag, and I don't have a bag packed."
Yeah.
And so last night, for a second, I thought, I need to pack this bag. I need to get it done. So now I have one. But of course, I put the things in there that I'll need like all the time. I need to come up with a different solution. But it's true. It's like there's some sort of a feeling of control also, knowing that you have at least that thing taken care of.
Yeah. Well, I even ordered an extra Apple Watch charger on Amazon.
Oh my gosh. See, that's so smart.
To put in the bag.
That's so smart.
I have everything that I don't need to use now. I have an extra, and that's in the bag. So we had a bag packed for the first 18 months of his life. And then you know, everything was super calm.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We need a bag just in case.
Right.
Just in case we need it.
And then you don't have to worry about it. You can just know it's right there ready. You're not running around the house like crazy grabbing things.
Yes.
Well, tell me a victory.
I would say just the gains that he's making with his fine motor skills. Mm. When people think CP, they sometimes think that people can't walk or mm-hmm. they're right. using some sort of device or something. And then they see my son and they are like, oh, he's running.
Right.
he doesn't have a limp or anything. And
right.
they're really surprised.
Yeah.
But when it comes to his hand, being able to grasp things and do things with the left hand as equally as the right, there's a huge difference. But within the last couple of weeks, instead of holding something, so normally he would grab something with or try to grab something with his left hand, and then if that didn't work, righty would come in and do it. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's holding something with his right hand, he'll continue to hold something with his right hand instead of passing it on to the left so he can use his right hand. He'll attempt to grab things and move things with his left hand.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, wow. he's been doing really well. His neurologist, when we saw him a few months ago, he said, how do you get his hand to open so well like that, his left hand? And I'm like, I mean, he goes to therapy one day a week right. for the OT.
Right.
I know he's learning things there, but he's really doing amazing with when I've showed other doctors that I work with his MRI and they're like, whoa. And then you see this child
right.
that's running and acting like, I mean, he acts like a pretty typical toddler. It's just, it's amazing. And he is such a blessing. He's doing really well.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. That's so exciting. And I know it will be encouraging to hear for moms that are in the boat that you were in those very early days.
There's hope.
Yeah, right.
There's hope.
Yes.
That's I share in some stroke groups that I'm on in Facebook, my story sometimes, and my Instagram, because I just want people to see that there's hope and there's healthy ways to deal with all of the trauma. Like I said, I would eat thousands and thousands and thousands of calories a day, and mm-hmm. I still was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can even take a walk. I mean, even take a walk with my son,
right.
And I feel better. So I just want to give parents hope and know that if they're struggling with their weight, that they can overcome that, because I have, and it's all because of my son. I mean, it really is.
Well, thank you so much for everything you share online, for putting your story out there, for being so transparent, for coming on the show. And I'm blown away. I know everyone else will be. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Reduced Fat Mama, and the mama is MOMMA.
MOMMA. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know that everyone listening is going to be so motivated and encouraged by your words. And I am just so eager to hit publish on this. Thank you for taking your time today on a Monday. And I'm looking at the monitor and my daughter is still asleep. How about you?
Yeah, he's sleeping still.
We did it. We did it.
I know. It's so nice.
Thank you so much. And I will speak with you soon. All right, friends. Don't forget to hit subscribe and come hang out with me at Mary Susan McConnell on Instagram or on Facebook. Or again, my website's marysusanmcconnell.com. Crystal, thank you so much for sharing your journey and for your honesty, your transparency. And I know that many listeners are going to feel the way I feel, which is very inspired to not only get out and get our physical bodies moving, but to also look at what areas of our lives we are, as you put it, self-medicating and how we can address that. So I, for one, I'm going to be honest here. After I had this conversation with Crystal, I went to the gym for the first time in my life. I walked around our college gym once just to kind of see what was happening, and I quickly got out of there. I went to our community center and I decided, you know what I want to do is start riding those bikes, those stationary bikes, and get podcasts in my headphones and get good music. And I became very quickly obsessed. So, Crystal, thank you for the inspiration. I am loving it. And you are so right. It really does help the mental, emotional, all the things, the stress that you may walk in with, you may not walk out with. So thank you. All right, guys, I'll talk to you in a few days. Bye-bye.